Hi, this is Dave Rowntree, author of Paranormal Technology, Understanding the Science of Ghost Hunting, lecturer, author, and paranormal researcher. And when you're not busy in the field, do what I do and listen to the Mallard Report with Jim Mallard.
The opinions expressed in the Mallard Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The Paranormal Talk Radio Show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. The Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
That it is. Welcome to tonight's Mallard Report. My guest is hanging out with me on the phone line. Jeez, that was almost special. On the whatever that thing is. My guest tonight is Dr. Kimberly Lackery. Rackery, I almost said your last name right. So how are you tonight?
Tonight, sister. I'm great.
Well, that's good to hear. I was just joking with you up here about having the podcast this time, because last time you were on my show... We did a great show, and we were all prepared to go listen to the on demand, the podcast, either way you want to look at it. And it broke it down into 6,000 and some odd pieces of about 2 seconds or more, somewhere near. The longest clip was about 8, and it was me going, "Well, I should ask you about," and that was it. So I'm hoping tonight goes a little bit better. Well, the show went fine. It was just that last 10 seconds where my computer decided to melt and crash and all that other stuff. So, but hey, could be worse. So
that's true.
So where do you want to start? Well, we want to talk about angels or light, or where do we want to start with tonight? What are you feeling?
How about angels? I've been working a lot with one specific angel lately, especially involving the paranormal and mediumship.
Okay, let's start there then, because I think that is a good point and an often overlooked topic in the paranormal, because everybody, wait for it, wants to talk about... I should have a sound effect or something going on here that I'm trying to cue to play, but demons.
Demons or cosmic waves interfering.
Yeah.
So
go ahead, talk to me about an angel then.
Okay. Well, as a medium, I've always worked with angels in bringing in spirits from the other side and also in investigations. Like, I use Archangel Michael for protection and clearing, and I use Archangel Raphael for healings. And then Archangel Azrael, he's known mainly as the death angel in a lot of cultures and throughout history. But he's misunderstood. People tend to fear him, and I've decided, since I've worked so closely with him, and I've come to know him as kind and compassionate and ready to offer comfort to people, that he should be more known for that rather than, you know, just being the death angel, which actually his duties are a lot more than just ushering souls to the other side. He's actually in charge of all souls, whether you're earthbound or a spirit, or if you've crossed over, he's in charge of all realms that the souls can go through. And every soul is accounted for. So I was having a conversation with him yesterday about earthbound spirits getting lost. And he told me that no one can truly be lost. Everyone is accounted for, their vibration, their name, and their lessons. And he can, if they're choosing to be earthbound, he can't interfere with that and usher them to the light and to the other side because of their free will. They have to want him to usher them. So I'm learning a lot just from having an actual conversation with the angel that's always helping me. He's the one that brings, when I'm doing a mediumship reading, he's the one that ushers the soul to me to connect with. And that's as far as I'd ever, you know, wanted to understand them before now. And I realized that there was a lot more to him than just ushering souls to me to communicate. So it's pretty fascinating. He also helps people with their life purpose, especially people who are mediums or healers or nurses or like people who work for hospice. He surrounds them constantly to help them give people who are dying what they need at the time, energetically or spiritually, so that they feel safe to cross over, because the goal is to cross over, not to choose to stay earthbound. So I'm finding this really interesting, getting into the whole Archangel Azrael thing more in depth than I ever thought it was.
Yeah, of course, as I don't want to say as simplistic as it could be. Of course, anything that you think is simple isn't. I mean, just take cars or pushing talk on a microphone or something. There's a lot of different variables about how the afterlife. I mean, just even thinking about the spirit realm, and then all the different. I mean, earthbound. Oh, there's so many different angles and facets to that. Just always boggles my mind. So, this isn't good. There's two questions I'm fighting with, and they're so different.
Okay.
They're so different. So I guess I'm gonna go positive tonight. Since it's State of the Union night, I'm gonna try to keep it upbeat, even though I mentioned the D word earlier. he's on another network, probably speaking right now. there it is. I said it indirectly. I was joking with somebody that I'm probably on the Do Not Fly list for the little banner I posted earlier. So. If you missed that, it's on Twitter and Facebook right now. Anyways, that's here or there. So I guess back to my question is, once the soul's earthbound, I mean, is that a conscious decision somebody makes, or how does that work?
Usually, yes. It can, because of your state of mind when you cross over. If you fear something, or you are holding excessive anger, or you've gone through a traumatic event, sometimes you become earthbound, but it's not like earthbound for like years and years and years. That's something that angels immediately will come in and help the soul realize why it's still lingering, and it'll usher them to the other side. But most earthbound spirits choose to stay earthbound because they either feel unworthy of going into the light, they fear the light, and they don't know what to expect. They think that they've done something so horrible that if they go to the light, they're just going to disintegrate and be nothing. They also can have such anger and resentment that keeps them tied to the earth plane. So that's why I always promote forgiveness. I mean, everybody needs to forgive everybody all the time, even for the slightest things, because it all builds up, and you don't realize that those things tie you to the earth plane when you pass over. But it can also be a section of earthbound entities are what I call wayward. And wayward spirits are a little different than earthbound because they're obsessed with something, or they had an addiction to something. And these are the ones that usually attach themselves to other people. So say you're fond of your pint every day after work and you have more than one pint. If there is a spirit that crossed over that was also fond of drinking and doesn't want to give up that sensation of drinking, it'll hang out at bars and it will attach itself to someone who also does the same thing so that it can energetically feel the feeling it had when it was alive. It doesn't want to release the feeling to cross into the light. So that's what I call waywards. They're the most dangerous attachments because they're not evil. They're just confused and lost and addicted to something. But if you have one long enough, they'll drain you. You'll get really ill. You'll become depressed. You may even start acting like that person did when they were alive. But they can eventually influence your thoughts and your actions if they stick with you long enough.
And that could be very dangerous if you like you're using the pint thing. If somebody starts drinking, that could be just as bad as being full blown possessed. You know what I'm saying? For the like, if you have a family and you know, it could just tear yourself. You could just tear everything apart. So.
A lot of my clients, they have family problems, and that's usually what it has been. It has been an attachment that they picked up from partying. A lot of times I've had several clients who picked up wayward from concerts, rock concerts. And I'm not saying rock concerts are bad. I love rock. But a lot of those kind of souls hang out there, and they're just waiting to attach themselves to someone who, you know, loves that kind of atmosphere. And then they take it home with them, and they start acting in different ways, and it starts affecting the family. But wayward can be pulled from whoever they're attached to and sent to the light, but they have to choose to stay in the light. So when you're pulling a wayward entity from someone, you have to pull it and then protect that person. You have to sort of forbid that spirit from attaching itself to the person ever again. So it's like a little process that I have to go through. But they can reattach. They can, like, leave one person and reattach to another person.
So I have a question here from another find a failure here. So would a spirit seek out a new experience and attach itself to someone to have that experience they were unable to have while they were alive? So based off what you just said, yes, because if they want to go... I mean, if they're hanging out at a rock concert, I'm pretty sure they're going to be, I don't want to say indiscriminate, but there's always new experiences to be had. And I think that that's part of the spirit thing, that you have to have X number of experiences and age through it and experience so many things, right? I'm not talking out my wazoo here. You can stop me if I'm wrong.
No, a spirit only has the knowledge or the education, however you want to put it, or both, that it had when it passed over, when it died. So it only has that knowledge or that education. And when you cross into the astral realm, it's like learning all over again. Unless you're, like, you know, new age or metaphysical, and you're not aware of energy, they have to learn all over again. They have to learn how to manipulate that realm, their energy. It's a learning process, and the more that they experience, the more abilities they have with manifesting and drawing from other people and influencing consciousness. And then eventually, and this is a sad thing, but you know how there are entities that are evil, and I'm not talking demons. Once a spirit has reached a certain point and it keeps repeating, you know, bad innerly over and over as a spirit, it then becomes a dark entity. Not on the level of a demon, but it becomes dark, almost to the point where it can't get back to the light. And that's one area where Archangel Azrael comes in handy a lot. But, yeah, I mean, the spirit world is very complex. It's intricately woven. So many people don't realize that it's like a whole other reality with rules and consequences.
Yeah, I think that's... I should probably do this since I haven't done it since the beginning of the show. My guest tonight is Dr. Kimberly Lackerly. I almost said your name right that time. I felt like... still felt like I had peanut butter in my mouth that time, but it's okay. I think it's just your name does that to me. I don't know. It's just such a mouthful. And we're talking about angels and spirits and light and all good things tonight. Well, most good things. We did talk about some darkness earlier, but that's okay. Well, you got to have salt and pepper, right? Everything comes with the good and the bad.
Right.
So, okay, let's delve. That doesn't sound positive. Let's talk about the light now, and because there's a correlation between the two, of course. I'm not talking about the people that walk into the light, because that's... I don't think that's true, is it? When people die, they walk into the light.
There is a light. There is light. It's kind of like it's a tunnel, I guess. It depends on what your beliefs are and what culture you come from. But there is a light, or you can say a frequency. It's like a radio signal. And it's a spectrum of heaven that descends. It's like a beacon to call you home.
People don't want to hear radio frequency because they'll think they'll be getting me. And they'll choose not to cross over so they don't have to hear it.
Well, for me, everything is frequencies and vibrations and energy, and waves, because that's how I see everything as a medium. So, yeah, I do use frequencies a lot.
I had Tracy Ray on last week, not to compare you two or anything, but she said, I asked her about aura colors.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she sees them as like a gasoline-type vapor, doesn't really ever see any colors. But you can see like more about the person if they've had an injury or an illness or any, you know, some malfunction. I don't want to say malfunction, but that's the word that just slipped out of my mouth, of the body or ailment. So how do you see them?
I see them as actual colors. It depends. Like, she's correct. I mean, every medium or clairvoyant sees differently. And you can see them the way Tracy sees them. I guess it depends on your level of clairvoyance or what your purpose is. Clairvoyants and healers have different purposes, and so they see things differently for that purpose. But, yeah, you can see distinct colors, and they're usually superimposed upon each other, like an oval, and then the colors are superimposed like a rainbow. Everyone has like a main color in their aura, but they also have all the other colors because each color corresponds to a chakra, and each chakra has lessons and issues and fears and beliefs that it holds, and it shows in your energy body. And the colors around your aura or in your aura denote what you're experiencing, what you're believing, what you're fearing, and it also is connected to your health. Because each chakra is connected to a certain function and organ and gland of your body. So our energy bodies are miraculous. And you can learn, if you're clairvoyant, you can tell almost a whole person's life, past, present, and future, just from their aura. You can see rips in auras. You can see discoloration in auras. And that's often where I see what I term paranormal parasites, where you get attachments and like little psychic bugs from different realms.
And here, I thought you got paranormal parasites from Facebook.
No,
oh,
I actually...
this is a different kind of thing. We'll get back to Facebook here in a minute. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, for me, paranormal parasites are an actual thing. This will be way out there for some of you listening, but they can even be alien implants. So, yeah.
Well, I have Scotty Roberts coming on in a few weeks, so aliens isn't that far stretched.
There are aliens. Trust me.
Well, for us to believe we're the only people in the universe, that is naive. I mean...
That is very naive. Yes. Yes, very naive.
I mean, they are flat, but I believe there's other people.
Actually, I think we're all aliens. I don't think any one of us originated on this planet. So, that's my own personal opinion.
I always joke that we're the reality show for some guy clicking through the channels. Oh, let's see what they're doing tonight. Oh, he's hosting that little internet radio show again. How cute. Well, they're talking about us now. They probably think we're green and gooberish looking, but we're not. No.
I don't know. I felt pretty green this weekend, so.
There it is.
Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say, there it is. I was waiting for you to cough, so. I hope you feel better. I guess I shouldn't be an ultimate prick here and say I hope you feel better, but.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling a little better.
Yeah. As they say, you couldn't feel any worse, right?
That's true.
So what I mean, let's change. I don't want to change totally, of course. But I mean, there's so many different things that I know that you do, and so many different things that are out there.
Yeah, that's why my husband calls me a mystic. He says I do a little bit of everything, and that's the term he finds best to.
And I thought it was jack of all trades.
I like that one.
I
wear many hats.
It doesn't have a good ring to it as mystic, though. It probably doesn't fit on the business card as well.
I just like saying I'm a cosmic kind of gal.
We've done some work together on websites, and I tell you, she picks some of the purplest, and I'm straightforward. I got purple on my duck. If it hasn't seen the duck, there's some purple there. So I'm not bashing purple by any stretch of the imagination. But some of these colors she comes up with, wow.
Well, purple has a significance. See, color. I see everything in color and vibration, so it all has a significance. Violet and the shades of purple represent transformation and royalty and Christhood, and it's the whole color purple. It represents so much, and it represents clairvoyance and the opening of the third eye, and so purple has meaning for me. Yeah.
There you go. I wasn't expecting all that about the color purple. So what? Okay. So what about the color green? Because I'm prone to the color green. Prone. That's not the right word.
The color green denotes healing and wealth. And,
well, that's totally wrong. You must back that up.
Well, abundance. You know, abundance of any kind, really. And green represents the earth. You vibrate very closely with the earth. You would make a good, if you wanted to study any kind of, like, esoteric or spiritual traditions, you should study earth-based spirituality. And if you wanted to fool around with, like, divination, you would be really good with, like, runestones and the I Ching. So, see, just because you love the color green, it tells a lot about you, just from that.
There you go. And another question popping in. I love this. I'm trying to read. Putting my glasses back on, by the way, if anybody cares. We were joking about having video earlier. Now I'm totally goobrous. I put my glasses on so I can read. Does Kimberly receive visions of pending events or information in regards to her future?
I do have visions, but they're always earth-related or event-related. In fact, they got so intense for a couple of years that I asked the powers to be to please stop because I couldn't sleep at all. And some of them were kind of horrific, and I didn't understand why I had to witness them. But I was finally told by my guides that the whole point of the visions that seemed destructive were they just needed to be witnessed as a possibility. So I didn't have to, because with me, if I have a vision for somebody else, I have to tell them right away or that vision stays with me, that energy stays with me, and I'll get headaches. It makes me sick. So I have to immediately tell the information that I get, whether I tell in person or I write it down, but I have to get it out. Otherwise, it stays in my energy, and I become ill or depressed. So I was wondering, what am I supposed to do with these visions? Because I don't want to go anywhere near prophecy or, you know, being a prophet or a predictor or anything like that. That's totally not my purpose, and I don't really want to do that. So I was confused about why I had these visions about the planet or governments or whatever. And they told me that the whole point was just for me to witness the possibility and accept it as energy and then send light to it. And once I started doing that, they got less and less, and I felt better and better. So, but for myself, you know, I hardly ever have visions for myself. I get them for my children and my husband, but it's really hard for me to be psychic for myself. I'm intuitive for myself. Like, I can feel if something's right for me to do or if something's wrong for me to do or what direction I should be moving in. But besides, you know, asking, you know, am I going to win the lottery on Saturday night? No, it doesn't work that way for me with any question. It doesn't work. I do get, if something really important is coming up that I need to be aware of, they'll send me an impression or I'll actually hear a voice. And I know that it's real for me because I didn't ask. So I try not to ask specific things for myself because then I doubt the answer. Because, you know, it's just being psychic for yourself. You're doubting yourself. Are you putting your want into the answer or your fear into the answer? So I try not to ask psychic questions for myself. Luckily, I have wonderful psychic friends who do that for me.
Well, life is good when you have good friends. Here's another question popping up here. How did you handle this growing up? Were you threatened by friends or family?
Yeah, growing up with this wasn't easy. As many people know, I come from a Baptist background, and my grandfather was a deacon of the church. And I would constantly one question the preacher, which was not a good thing to do. And anytime I would say, Papa said this, or Grandma said this, or whatever, they would, because they had passed away, and I would see them. They would come sit with me at church, or they would ride with me in the car. And I would talk to them, and my parents would totally freak out. So I was actually talked to by the preacher that they thought the devil had a hold of me, and they prayed over me and stuff like that. So eventually I learned to keep things to myself. It was actually my first husband's parents who gave me the courage to I guess come out of the closet and to actually be who I was. They didn't doubt me. They were open to everything I said, and they kind of encouraged me. So without them, who I love them dearly, they're still my mom and dad today, even though I divorced their son. But without them, eventually I probably would have stepped out of my fear of what I was. But yeah, it wasn't easy. I had to keep, especially when you see your grandfather, you walk in and you find your grandfather on the floor. But he's on the floor and he's also standing behind you and you can see the front door through him. That was my first real experience with a spirit that I knew. And it was also my first feeling of shame associated with being able to see a spirit because I was telling my dad that Papa's not Daddy's right here. And my father got on to me for making things up. And, I was a bad person for, you know, Papa's dead and you're making things up. He's not here. He's dead. And so that was a hurtful time for me, but. And until the day my dad died, he still didn't understand who I was or what I did. After he passed away, a medium friend of mine called me with a message from my dad. And it was, I understand. And it was as simple as that. And she had no way of knowing that my dad didn't understand. And I knew it was my dad, because that's the one thing I wanted from him, understanding. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not nearly the medium or anything, but it's tough when you bring up paranormal things, just, I mean, in general, the people, when they get, defensive. There we go, there's a good word for it.
They do. My mom still has, she sidesteps any conversation with me about being psychic or metaphysics or the paranormal. She loves the ghost hunting shows, though. but she doesn't love her daughter being able to communicate.
Well, that's like the football joke. You know, everybody likes watching football, but if it comes to your son playing football, whoa, wait a second, let's have a conversation here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Halfway through,
like,
already.
Like tonight, I told her, yeah.
Are you scared? Scared, I love that. For those who may be joining us at this bottom of the hour because they've had enough of the stuff that's on every broadcast network around the world, well, around America at least, my guest tonight is Dr. Kimberly Rackery, and I'm glad you're tuning in for, I don't want to say entertainment, but compared to that, this is. So. I heard about it this morning. I wish I would have spent some time on Photoshop. I could have had some fun with the president and the doc, but I threw something together real quick. It's up on Facebook and Twitter if anybody wants to retweet it or be helpful in me going forward with some of these, because I think we could have some fun. But here we go. There was a follow-up question to the question about seeing events in your future. Of course, I missed it because I was too busy cleaning my glasses because they were incredibly dirty, but that's okay. The visions, do they include a solution for if somebody's having a problem? Or do they just see the problem?
If it's a person, yes. If it's a person, yes. There's always a solution. Except for planetary things, because that requires mass levels of consciousness being altered, and that usually doesn't happen. But for individuals, yes, there's always a solution. Like, I will see what it is they need to change. When people are experiencing something bad, they don't like to take responsibility for it because most of them don't understand how energy works. But if something is happening, somehow you created it out of karma or a belief or a repeated thought or a lesson from the universe. So, and people don't like to acknowledge that. They just think that bad things happen to them because they're a victim. A victimhood is one of the main things with that. But there's always a solution. So I can see if they are thinking incorrectly or negatively. I can see if they have a fear or a belief that is creating the situation. If it's like an accident or something like that, it's usually a cycle of their karma that they have to go through. And accidents are usually protected. They don't necessarily mean, you know, devastation or death, but sometimes accidents have to occur in a certain way for that person to realize something. It's like a wake-up call from the universe. And if that's what it is, I'll see that. But I can tell them to protect themselves. They can soften the blow of anything. But sometimes you have to actually go through the bad thing to understand yourself better. If that makes any sense. And that's one thing that some of my clients don't understand. But sometimes the bad things have to occur. Like, I could be the perfect example. The last 6 months have been, like, sort of bad thing after bad thing. But as they occurred, and I got over the, you know, all...
Uh-oh.
And...
There it goes. You cut out there, speaking of bad things, so you...
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
But once you're in the bad thing, you start seeing all the possible reasons why the bad thing happened, and sometimes the bad thing turns out to be the good thing. And that's what I'm discovering with my grandson's cancer. That's a really bad thing, and it's been very hard on us. But there have been so many good things that came from him going through this. So many good things. And with my house and the fire, that was a major shock and a very hard thing to deal with, especially for the first 2 weeks. But now that we're through the energy, everything's still not settled, but now that we're through the energy, we see so many things in our lives just from having gone the experience that we have been able to change that we wouldn't have considered before within ourselves, in our relationship, in our family. So everything always has a reason, even though people don't want to acknowledge that it does.
Well, it's not, sometimes it, well, it isn't instantly either. It may, mm-hmm. take, it may take you a year to final, or 2 years or 3 years to settle everything that comes out of the of that.
Exactly.
So, everybody likes instant gratification. And speaking of instant gratification, I have not got a tweet yet tonight, which I'm kind of disappointed about. Normally by this point in the show, I've had people wanting to hang themselves before. So, I'm a little disappointed, Twitter. I don't know what's going on with you guys tonight, but I hope you're all, well, they're probably all listening to the president, all the people that would normally be tweeting me tonight, so, preparing to wage some sort of Twitter attack on him, so that's okay. but if you're out there and you're listening and you want to tweet, go ahead. It's at iTalkParanormal. Simple enough, straightforward enough, and I promise to not read any of them on the air, so that's okay. just one more question here. Has she been visited by a Harbinger? Did I say that right? Yeah, Harbinger.
A Harbinger?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, not specifically.
Okay.
So
the follow-up part of that question, I won't ask you then, so.
Okay.
it doesn't really, if you haven't seen one, you haven't seen one, so.
No, not that I'm aware of. Just archangels of helpfulness, and I've never had, like, you know, a doomsday entity or being come to me or anything like that. So,
so now I've got to ask, can we get a definition of that? Because my pronunciation of it was so great.
Well, Ben's right. It's a thing or a being that preludes an event. Like the Mothman, but no, that's never, you know, it's never happened.
Honestly, not here for a moment here. Me and you are just going to talk. But the Mothman's been zapped by a big bug zapper, right? No,
exactly.
That's why nobody sees him, because he's stuck in somebody's bug zapper somewhere. And the emails start, I'm sure. That's just horrible. I totally killed my train of thought with that, just being so stupid sometimes. I wonder about myself. So I've got TheMysticViews.com, which is coming out Friday? Is that what you told me?
Yes, Friday. It was supposed to premiere in January. It's the merging of psychic scopes with more of a metaphysical feel to it. Which was my husband's idea. And everything that has been happening, I haven't had a chance to channel all the signs, and because I'm expanding to not just with the day and weekly forecast as well for each sign. And I'm going to have podcasts posted. Everything is going to go from illuminated reality to the mystic views.
There you go. Makes things. Need the simple streamline. People that have been following me for the last year have seen me whack and hack and mess up things over and over again until I got to figure out how I wanted it. So.
And I need everything in one place and with one theme. I can combine everything that I do into one thing, the mystic views. And it'll make everything easier for me and give me more time to work with my paranormal team, Nightside Paranormal.
There you go. Go ahead and talk about them.
Yeah, well, we're healing. I missed, because of the fire, I missed our first fun investigation of the year. But they all went and had a great time. But we're working on, I hope I'm allowed to mention this as an assistant director.
It's just me. It's okay. Nobody's listening tonight. Don't worry about anybody else.
We're starting like a little division of Nightside because we get so many questions about the psychic side of investigations. David, I give permission. Thanks, David. We're going to start a division of Nightside called Psychic Side, and I'm currently like writing the guidelines, and it will be a psychic investigating team, basically. Or for people who have spiritual or psychic questions with the paranormal, or maybe paranormal activity that is more based on a person creating it spiritually or psychically themselves. So I'm really excited about it, and especially that David and Brian trust me to put this together and want it to be a part of my side. So I'm really excited about that. So I really want to free up some of my time so that I can get started on that.
Yeah, I'm excited. You mentioned that to me a while ago. No offense, guys. I'm sorry, but well, as they may have noticed, I've been attached to the team for a while now. So. So.
Yeah.
I'm sure they.
And I hope it makes. I hope it makes Scott proud because Scott really, he really loves this psychic side of the paranormal, and he was so curious about it, and we had so many great conversations, and I hope he's supporting it and proud.
I'm sure.
I think David's right. We should make you an honorary member.
Okay. Okay, sure. Jeez, a piece. What were we talking about? That's not good. No, it's been fun to watch the ebbs and flows and development of that. Having had my own team for almost, it'll be 5 years and a couple months. So it's been fun watching somebody else and helping you guys out as you got footed, started, get your feet off the ground and get going. So
yeah, we're getting back the way that we should be. It's been slow, and then everybody's lives took a little turn, and so we're being patient, but we're back in the game, and we're excited to be. We have some investigations coming up, so I'm excited.
Go ahead.
One of our clients is in the chat room, so that's nice to see.
As I tell people, any team that thinks they're perfect and strong and going well, wait until you hit a spot of adversity, either a former member quitting and raising holy hell, or, well, as you know, somebody having cancer, or any number of things can rattle a group of people to their core, and they find out how strong they actually are besides just being out there running around with flashlights at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our team, family comes first always, and that's even with clients, and when we're investigating, the family comes first. I love the guys. They're totally supportive of everything that's happened with Talon and the fire, and they're always there for me. So we're we're more like a family than a team.
We don't like
that.
The F word. Oh, we like the other F word. Oh, I'm just kidding. Doesn't get ratings. The other F word gets the ratings around here. And speaking of that other F word, T.L. Parker will be on the end of March.
Got
to start putting out the disclaimer now. The end of March, I think it's the 26th. If not, somebody needs to correct
me. Yeah, we'll have plenty of the other
F-words. Somebody needs to correct me. I need to put the disclaimer out now. That night is not for young children, not for teenagers, not for anybody, actually. I think you should just probably forget it.
Yeah.
No, she's another one of those people that have been a great big supporter of the program, and good things are happening to her, too. But we'll talk about that with her. But
yeah, wonderful things. I'm so happy for her. Yeah.
What am I trying? No, I'm not canceling you. I'm just canceling all the listeners for that night. Just have to start now and start preparing them. Oh, well, go ahead. She's assuming I've read the books. I love that about her.
I want to be in a book. Oh, Colin's going to put me in his book. No, CL, he's not going to cancel you.
No, that's clear. I'm just, like I said, I'm just canceling all the listeners, so just be aware of the impending doom. Or as I told her the one night she was on, the other thing that ghost hunters like to do in the dark is what we'll be talking about, well, indirectly. We use a lot of, suggestive phrases that go along.
Sorry, I had to play with that one, Jim.
I know. It's horrible. Yes, I'm sure there'll be file. I'm glad it's on internet radio because if the last show I had was on the regular air, I would have had to hit the Powerball to pay the FCC. The FCC. But that, yeah.
So what are we saying ghosts like to do? What are we saying?
No, the investigators. Nothing about the ghosts.
Oh.
Well, I need to be characters in other... Here, I'll throw this out since you're in the line, because you'll hate me for this. I need to be characters in other people's books, because my book isn't going that well, so...
I'm sorry for you, but I'm excited for me, because I recovered most of Paranormal Illuminations. I just have to fill in the parts that were lost from the fire.
Well, that's great, though. That's a good start.
I know. I'm so excited. So I'm hoping by April or May that I can have it all redone and re-edited and up on Amazon. So that's my goal. I'm really excited.
So remind me to pencil you in for the end of June because that's the next open spot. Oh, good. And
pencil
they're going
me in
quick.
For the end of June.
They're going quick. People are bugging me. When can I be on your show? Well, it's going to be a few months. But like when? I'm like,
well, because
June.
Because everybody loves your show.
I know. Well, it's good. It's good to have people want to be on it and off it. Man, I'm trying to, you know.
Have the most fascinating people on.
Yeah, I had Bill Bean on a few weeks ago. He came to me.
I love Bill Bean. He is so amazing and inspiring.
And when I got his message, I'm like, of course. I've heard him interviewed a few times, and it never crossed my mind to ask him. You know, I'm too busy with my taking care of everybody that's coming in that wants interviewed, and so. But I'm throwing this out here. May 28th, I think it is my 2-year anniversary show, and just saying now that I'm in the process of booking a guest that will make all these other internet shows go. How in the hell did he get him?
Oh, it's a him. Mm.
Well,
I'll have to do some psychic investigating.
It's not confirmed yet, so it might not be out there on the psychic news line yet because it isn't confirmed. I'm trying. What about this weird stuff? I'm beating down this guy's door, trying to get him to say yes. At least even for part of the show. I mean, I could fill the other part. Trying. It's more like begging, dribbling all over myself, but that's okay. But if it comes together,
it'll be great.
If it comes together, it comes together. If not, I've got a few others that I've asked. So, nope, not a paranormal person.
It'll come together. Come together.
Yeah, hopefully. If it doesn't, I'll sit here and talk to myself for an hour. People like you like that.
We do. We want you to talk more. Actually, we like it when you have your show where you just talk too. Because we like to hear what you have to say, which is why I'm looking forward to later.
Yes, later tonight. Well, his show starts in 10 minutes, so to speak, I guess. Close enough for those. Daniel Bouts and the Grand Dark Conspiracy over at Shark Radio, sharkradionetwork.com. I'll be his guest probably shortly thereafter. I've got a few things to wrap up here before I jump on over there, of course. Surprise, surprise. The host has work to do. I know some people out there think this is just simple, which is beyond me, but it really is once everything starts and you start going, and then you've got a whole bunch of things to do. Well, at least I do. I mean, I guess if you want people to hear your podcast after. But anyways, that's a cheap shot to somebody out there who isn't listening to my show, I'm sure. But yeah, whatever. Anyways, before I bash, before I bash somebody really hard. I'm trying. I'll just move on. Yeah, Bill really came to me. He sent me an email and said, I've heard great things about your show. I've heard great things about you, and I want to be on. So, and he followed.
Nice.
He followed suit and sent me another couple great messages. So, I'm just happy for it. So, and he'll be back on. He's, you know, so busy, but he'll be back on, of course. And just so many people, so many great people, that it makes it tough because between, like, well, I've got Dr. Kimberly Rackery on. She's a great person, of course. And C.L. Parker there, and David, and Thomas Husko. And
I know.
So
Kurt,
many.
You're gonna have to have Nightside on for just Nightside one of these days. And David has good stories to tell. So that's brilliant.
We could probably set that up. I was joking earlier. I haven't done it yet, but I've been joking about doing 50 states in 50 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. You should do it.
I should, but I've got to stop. See, that's a whole year commitment right there. Unless I do it separately. So, you know, I don't know. That's why I guess that's the problem, because if I did it, it has to be a whole year commitment to these things. So.
That's not a lot of time. That's not a biggie.
Yeah, but when four people a week want to be on the show.
DCCL. Oh, goodness.
So, I guess, okay, we did talk about mystic views. So what else? I mean, the book. So what, besides Nightside, anything else that I'm missing? I can't remember anything else, but I want to make sure I get everything out.
No, that's pretty much it. The Mystic Views is my newest attempt of merging my jack-of-all-trades self into one.
It's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, it could be. I mean, you just delete everything and move on, but no. That would be fun. I'm just dumbfounded, so I'm just going to ask you. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you and then let you answer. Have you made any of your own recording equipment?
No, I have not.
Are you kidding? Have you
thought
about it? I don't know. Something told me you thought about it. Maybe that's the whole podcast thing coming off you, but I feel that you've at least thought about it.
Yeah, well, I've thought about my husband doing it, not me. I am my own recording equipment. It all goes in my head. See, David's laughing because he knows. I am so totally not tech smart there. Yeah, no. I'm designing. Do Oracle cards count? Because I'm designing paranormal Oracle cards to use in investigations. Does that count?
Anything you want to throw out there counts. You should throw that by now. I don't limit my guests on what they can talk about.
Yeah, the team knows. Kim's not the tech girl. They set everything up, and Kim just kind of, you know, yeah. They do all that. And
see, we're polar opposites on that. I set everything up, and my team kind of just walks around and goes, can we help with anything? Yeah, get out of the way. They love it when I'm mean to them. They really do. Yeah, they don't, but that's okay. It could be worse, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. I think everybody does want to have one for a while, but then it's easy to want to have one. I'm talking about internet radio shows. I guess I should probably actually throw that out there for the podcast listener or somebody else that may not be actually looking at the chat room going, what the hell is he talking about? But
I'm just going to start with podcasts and see how that goes. And if it goes anywhere, it goes anywhere. Because, you know, it is. Radio is a big commitment. So.
Oh, good grief. Yes.
Well,
yes,
I'm one of these people that don't like showing up at a certain time every day or I totally don't like restriction of any kind. So, Yeah. We'll see how this works out.
And I think the majority of my listeners listen to the podcast. They don't come live, so at least according to the numbers I'm seeing. So.
What's what?
According to the numbers I'm seeing, most of my listeners listen to the podcast, not the live show. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Overwhelmingly. Almost 6-1.
Well, maybe because they have more time. Maybe, you know, they want to listen, but they can't tune in at 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
Yeah, being up against the prime time shows on cable kind of sucks.
Yes.
At least I'm not up against the Walking Dead, but, you know.
That's true.
I would have no listeners then, at least live listeners. No, I listen to podcasts, so I get it, because half the time I don't remember when the show's on, and with young kids, it's, I want to say, impossible to listen to a show, but there are times during the day that, well, it is. Because of them, commitments of real life, so. Winding down here means my mind's going to shut off any minute now, so just be prepared for me to sit here and go, I don't know what to talk about.
It's only 4 minutes.
I know. Well, it's only 3 minutes because I've got to play the outro, too. So,
oh, yeah, 3 minutes. Okay. Yeah.
Which is exactly a minute long. I don't know how I edited that right, but it's a minute long now. It used to be a minute and some odd seconds, but I edited it up a little bit now. It's just a minute, which is just remarkable for me. So...
Now you have to censor yourself for your own appearance.
Censor myself for my own appearance? No, it's okay.
Censor and be at peace.
I don't know. Yeah, actually, I do have a great European, UK. I was just reading that in another chat room here. It's amazing. I'm going to throw this out here before we get off here. I have a real problem with Wyoming. Nobody listens to my show from Wyoming.
Really? I have a friend in Wyoming, and she does voiceovers. And she's an actress. I can get her to tune in.
Nobody. I've got more downloads from Zimbabwe and South Africa and all over the world, but nobody. Zero. Big zero from Wyoming. Just saying. I don't know why it bothers me, because I've got listeners from the other 49 states, I guess, is why it bothers me now. Maybe that's why, I don't know.
Well,
another 50 countries around the world, but none from Wyoming. Kind of stands out in that little map that I get. I mean, I've even got some from Delaware, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. Just saying.
Well, most of my followers on Twitter are from your area, or Connecticut, or New York, or England. I don't know how that works, but I can't get anyone in my own state to follow me.
Well, I've got a lot of listeners from the Sunshine State, and I thank them. And if anybody's wondering where the most listeners from my show come from, it's California, because I don't know, because they think I'm some kind of individual out there that's kind of cool. So. Okay.
You're way cool.
Before I forget, the mysticviews.com, Friday, good time
Friday.
To hang out. Losing it. I haven't had it, but okay. Friday. And if you need anything else, italkparanormal.com, and we've got to go.
Before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com. That's italkparanormal.com. Good night.
This is Thomas Fusco, author of the book Behind the Cosmic Veil, A New Vision of Reality, and you are listening to The Mallard Report.
Hey, everybody, it's The Mallard Report. We'll be right back.
the Mallard Report.